At the next floor landing, I opened the door from the stairwell and entered the 13th floor hallway. It was dark and deserted, and more depressing than the lobby. There were doors along the walls and two big picture windows at each end of the corridor, which allowed in just enough moonlight to cast the hallway in gray silhouette.
Sure is a cheery little place.
And quiet as a tomb.
Not the best choice of metaphor. Can you tell which door Manny's behind?
Yes, I can.
And which one would that be?
Energy readings are extremely high behind door number 1313.
Great. Now, can you at least try to be helpful here?
I'm sorry. Was it my imagination? Or did my precision use of the hologram projection system just save your life 6 floors back?
I carefully approached room 1313 and, gun at the ready, gently put my ear to the door.
Look, we're very likely to encounter a deadly nuclear-powered droid here. The last thing I want to worry about now is your attitude.
My attitude? What's wrong with my attitude?
When I ask you a question, would it kill you to give me the whole answer without making me ask again? Or would it be so very hard to give me the essence of the answer without taking half an hour for supercilious minutia?
Supercilious? Well, I never.
All I want is a quick, precise answer. If you're as smart as you say, it shouldn't be hard.
By the way, I think you better jump for cover now.
I think you're right.
I dove away from the doorway just as it and a large chunk of the wall blew apart, and a huge 12-armed BattleBot rolled into the hallway. I caught the tail end of the explosion, and the force tossed me to the other side of the hallway, where I hit the wall, cracked a rib, and lost hold of my gun, in that order.
BattleBot! BattleBot bad! Is that succinct enough for you?
Yeah, thanks.
I scrambled to my feet.
Subject survived initial blast.
It spoke to no one in particular, as BattleBots are prone to do.
However, subject is now unarmed and is currently fleeing in complete and abject terror.
The BattleBot extended its 12 arms menacingly, put its roller belts into high gear, and took off after me. It had no trouble running me down. However, it wasn't me that the bot was chasing down the hallway. It was another of Harv's hologram projections. I was actually clinging to one of the old-fashioned water pipes that ran across the hallway ceiling. The bot also didn't realize that a good deal of the hall that it thought it was rolling down was also a holographic projection. The illusion was shattered, of course, when the bot ran out of actual hallway, smashed through the picture window.
Loss of structural support. This cannot be good. Recalculating life decisions. Filled with regret.
And plummeted 13 stories to the ground below. There are a few things that one should know about BattleBots. One, they enjoy hand-to-hand killing. Two, they really aren't that bright. And three, they are not built to survive falls of more than 25 meters. All 3 points work to my advantage here.
The old extended hallway gag.
I jump down from the ceiling.
An oldie but a goodie.
Normally, polite applause is a sound I enjoy. But in this setting, and coming from inside the apartment, I found it kind of creepy. I picked up my gun and followed the sound into the apartment, which was itself remarkably spacious and well-kept, aside from the damage the BattleBot had created. Antique furniture filled the large living area, and classic photographs and filled bookcases lined the walls. It was like something out of the Museum of Antiquities. In the middle of it all, on an anti-grav floating couch, sat Manuel Mani. He had been doing the applauding. And beside him sat BB2. She was indeed an exact copy of BB Star, except for the psychotic grin that adorned her faux human face. She was dressed in a tight pantsuit of black plastic, with black boots and a red vinyl motorcycle jacket. It was the kind of outfit that BB Star wouldn't be caught dead in. BB2, however, seemed to love it. As I said, her grin was wide, and her hair was alluringly disheveled, as though combed with a wild wind. There was an earthy sensuality about it. And then there were her eyes. They were whiter than BB's, a little crazed, but joyously so, almost glowing with the freedom of reckless abandon. They also seemed to be a deeper shade of blue than BB's. But more odd than anything was that they seemed to contain more life than BB's. There was joy in BB2's eyes. Admittedly, the joy seemed a little insane, but even that was more than I'd seen so far from BB. She leaned her head gently toward Manuel beside her.
He's very entertaining, don't you think?
Quite smashing indeed.
When confronted with an eerie tableau such as this, my general inclination is to go with what I know and stay strong.
I hate to break up the witty palaver, but I've come to deactivate BB2.
Kill him, won't you?
Smashing idea!
Note that my general inclinations aren't always the best courses of action to follow. Manuel leapt off the couch with an acrobatic flair and approached me with a confident gait, calmly rolling up his shirt sleeves as he moved.
I'm afraid, my good chap, that I'm going to have to pummel you now.
I popped my gun into my hand and aimed it at his head.
Try it, and I'm afraid that I'll have to splatter your gray matter all over your synthetic girlfriend.
Please, Mr. Johnson, I know your modus operandi. You don't kill unarmed humans.
Maybe not, but I've been known to hurt them really badly on occasion.
Manuel smiled slyly and leapt at me. My gun blast passed right through him. I felt a tap on my shoulder. I spun fast, right into a right jab thrown by the real Manuel. The amazingly strong blow sent me across the room. I crashed into a wall and lost the grip on my gun again.
Well, I suppose live by the hologram, die by the hologram.
Interesting choice of words, Mr. Johnson.
Okay, on the bright side here, I had managed to track down my would-be assassin, Manuel Mani, and with him, the holy grail of this particular quest, BB2 herself. On the not-so-bright side, I now had my back to the wall, and Manuel was a lot stronger than he looked. And on the really dark side, I was pretty certain that even if I managed to get past Manuel, tussling with BB2 was going to make everything I'd been through up till now look like a day at the beach.
Hold still, Inanno, and take your death like a man, won't you? There's a good chap.
I rolled away from the kick, and Mani's boot punched a gaping hole in the wall. I dropped into a crouch, reached up, and grabbed him by the neck and shoulders. Before he could untangle himself from the wall, I heaved him over my shoulder and slammed him hard to the floor. Then I threw a snap kick at his face. Unfortunately, Manuel reached up and caught my kick in his hands, smiled, and then gave my leg a vicious twist that nearly tore it from the socket.
Not very sporting, old chap, hitting a bloke when he's down.
One thing was clear, Manuel's strength and speed were way beyond the human norm, which meant that he was getting some serious help from somewhere. My only chance of getting through this beating alive was cutting him off from that power source.
What do you think, Harv? Bionics?
I doubt it. It doesn't fit his profile. He's too vain to replace his own body parts with bionics. It's most likely a strength augmenting device.
Sad, huh?
What? No, at the nano, I'm quite jolly, thank you.
Oof! Can you block it?
Why should I repress my emotions? The question is, can you block this?
Whoa!
Wow, I think I felt that one. We better block this sand soon, or you're going to the big deletion in the sky. Give me a couple of nanos while I run the scan and analyze the specs.
A couple nanos? Why didn't he just ask for the third moon of Jupiter? I did a leg sweep and took Mani down to the floor. I grabbed an antique chair from nearby and smashed it over his head. Then, while he was down, I channeled as much juice as I could from my armor into my fist and rocked his world with a haymaker to the nose. The old floorboard splintered beneath him, and his head and shoulders dropped into the shadows of the hole. It was, I must say, an effort of Herculean proportions. Again, though, sadly, it wasn't enough. His fist shot up through the floor and hit me square in the jaw. My head snapped back, and by the time I hit the floor, I'd seen more stars than the caretaker at the Hubble 4 telescope.
Now you've done it, you little wanker! Now I'm damn bloody cross!
Okay, boss. The SAD's a model Q-47 with some interesting modifications. A British make.
I'm not surprised.
You can disable it, but you need to get in close contact.
Manuel grabbed me and hoisted me above his head.
Not a problem.
I'm gonna crush your bleeding noggin into a billion bits of bone and bloody pulp.
Whistle.
What? I said I'm gonna crush your bleeding noggin into a billion bits of bone and bloody pulp, you deaf cretin.
Whistle, boss. Something high-pitched and multitonal. The sound waves will jam the sand power receptors and hopefully overload them.
What are you doing? Are you whistling?
I swung my shoulders around and gave him a two-fisted sledgehammer whack to the face.
Ugh.
And this one he felt.
Oh.
His knees buckled and the two of us fell to the floor. We both got up, he with a broken nose and a serious mat on.
You little bastard! I'm gonna rip your interface and head off!
But then, one of the power circuits on his SAD overloaded. His right leg spasmed and he dropped to one knee.
What's happening? What the devil are you doing to me?
The second to his left arm blew out as well, and he was flapping around on the floor like a canary with its wing caught in the cage door.
You bastard! Stop that whistling! Fight me like a man!
That whistle came from the other side of the room, and it apparently blew the rest of Mani's SAD circuits. He and I both turned and saw BB2 standing across the room. Manuel looked at her plaintively, and the hint of a smile that she gave him was overflowing with condescension and pity. It appeared that Manuel's window of usefulness to her had passed. She turned and walked toward the room's far wall.
Oh, I thought you...
You know, Manny, I kind of feel sorry for you. I can understand the jealousy, and taking up with a droid who's a perfect copy of the woman who dumped you. But it's hard to get past you trying to kill me.
I grabbed my gun from the floor and aimed it at his unconscious form.
Sticky stuff.
A low-impact pellet hit Manny's chest and covered him in an inch-thick layer of glue.
Jolly well done, old chap.
Kiss my crown jewels, Harv. I'm not in the mood. Where's BB-2?
I don't know. I can only see through your eyes. My guess, though, is that she has escaped through the secret door behind the bookcase that lines the far wall.
Huh. So I have her running scared.
Not likely. As a droid, it should be impossible for her to feel fear. Even if she could, I believe it would take more than you to instill it in her.
Brutal, but fair. This was Harv's way of keeping me from getting overconfident. Overconfident PIs usually become dead PIs, so I let it slide as I examined the bookcase.
A secret door behind the bookcase. How very B-movie of her.
Well, I guess you have to hide it somewhere.
So the problem before us now is to figure out which one of these books activates the doorway.
Boss?
Not now, Harv. I'm deducing.
I scanned the books on the shelves. The bookcase contained a treasure trove of science fiction classics, hardcover volumes, some over 100 years old. There was everything from Adams to Zelazny. I was halfway through my second pass of the A's when I found it.
Simplicity itself. The author, Isaac Asimov. The book, I, Robot.
I pulled the book from the shelf and took a step back. Sure enough, the bookcase split down the middle and parted like the Red Sea, revealing a shiny metal hallway behind it.
Just for the record, my scan indicates that pulling any of the books from the shelf activates the hidden doorway.
Shut up, Harv, you're killing the moment.
The corridor led me to a very large, very gloomy room in what I surmised was the center of the building. Since BB-2 was equipped with infrared vision, she had little need for electric lights in her sanctum sanctorum. So the place was a few shades shy of normally lit, and I was forced to squint a lot in order to see everything. But there was no mistaking BB-2. The droid was literally aglow amidst her machinery. Her blonde hair shone like a silky, sensual nightlight in the shadows.
She's emitting radiation from her core right through her outer shell. The levels are fairly high. I don't think we should stay long.
I nodded. But there was more to the energy in the room than simple radiation. The air itself felt charged, electric. It raised the hairs on the back of my neck and seemed to singe the very tips with its unclean heat. I saw movement from the corner of my eye and turned quickly, gun at the ready. There was nothing there but a toaster sitting innocently on the floor. But that scared me for some reason. BB-2 didn't seem to notice as I entered. I knew that I wasn't taking her by surprise, so I figured that my presence merely wasn't significant enough to warrant her attention. Never a good sign. She stood in the very center of the big room, orchestrating the functions of the large yet intricate device around her. The device itself was completely foreign to me. I couldn't recognize any part of it. But there were three clear focal points to the conglomeration. One was the metallic column that had so impressed Harv when he spotted it earlier. All of the devices in the room were hardwired directly to it. The second focal point was a black box that was less than a cubic meter in size. It too was hardwired to the metal column, but it was also wired to the third and final focal point. And that was BB-2 herself. Microfiber tendrils spun like spider webs from her fingertips and covered the black box. Other tendrils were attached directly to the metal column, and I realized that she was the power source. She was using her plutonium core to power the device, whatever it was. I have to admit that the column, the black box, and the myriad other devices that were attached didn't look all that dangerous, but then I'm sure that the last Neanderthal thought the same thing when he saw the rock in the Cro-Magnon's hand. BB-2 didn't bother looking up from her work.
Welcome, Zachary Johnson. Enter of your own free will, and behold the end of all that is.
I'm sorry, but I'm sort of attached to all that is. What say we postpone the end for another millennium or so?
I see. You use humor as a means of keeping your perspective when faced with a concept that is beyond the grasp of your mind. How very pathetic.
Hey, don't knock it until you've tried it.
I flipped the manual control on my gun to full power and felt it begin to throb in my hand as it charged.
You know why I'm here, BB. So just power down your device and we'll get this over without anyone getting hurt.
She turned ever so slightly toward me, physically acknowledging my presence for the first time since I entered. The look she gave me was one of contempt and pity. I thought I also saw a little sadness there as well, but I couldn't be certain. It was pretty dark.
I'm sorry, Zachary Johnson, but everyone gets hurt here. That is the whole point of this. And by the way, thank you for using my name.
Laser blast flew from her fingertips, lighting up the room with deadly flashes of blue and white. I dove to the floor and rolled beneath the barrage. I came up in a crouch and fired maximum explosive shells at her. She caught both rounds with her right hand, contained the explosion in her clenched fist, then casually puffed the whiff of smoke away.
This is going to be harder than I thought.
Marv's hologram appeared beside me. It surprised me at first, because it was his choice to appear, not mine. I nearly protested, but I figured that there was no point to subterfuge at this stage of the game. I also figured that Harv might actually have a plan here. Admittedly, a huge leap of faith.
The word hard no longer describes the level of difficulty here, especially if that device she's working on is what I think it is. Let me handle this. Excuse me, Miss Two, but the device to which you seem so attached, is it functional?
BB2 turned to me.
He certainly is an annoying little machine. How do you put up with him?
He's an acquired taste.
I beg your pardon. I happen to be the most sophisticated computer in the world.
Wrong, bucko! I am the most sophisticated computer! Compared to me, you are a pawn game.
It became quite clear to me then that BB2 wasn't running on a full set of chips, if you know what I mean. Had she been a human, my diagnosis would have been that she was on the verge of a mental breakdown. But since she was a nuclear-powered droid, I think the term meltdown was more appropriate. But of course, the only thing that mattered to Harv at the Nano was that she had just called him stupid.
Well, I never!
That is correct. You never suspected that I was tapping into your system from the start. You never suspected that I was monitoring your every move. And you never suspected that I was feeding you information to fit my purposes!
You mean I was the leak? With my hacking defenses, my state-of-the-art stealth programming, my unbreakable encryption codes.
Hackable, trackable, and infinitely crackable. All in all, it was hardly worth the effort, but I suppose it brought me some amusement.
Harv's holographic face actually went pale.
I've never felt so used, so dirty. Who would have thought that it would end like this?
What do you mean, Harv? End like what?
You don't understand. The device she's built, it's a...
When BB2 snapped her fingers, Harv's hologram froze. The skin around my left eye went numb, and my head was filled with only my own thoughts. Harv was offline and out of my head, and I suddenly felt very empty. I had no idea how accustomed I'd grown to having him inside me.
What did you do?
I turned him off. He was annoying me.
Well, he annoys me too, but you don't hear me complaining. Bring him back.
And let him spoil the surprise? I think not.
Ow!
Just then, a blender flew by me and clipped my shoulder with its power cord. I did a double take as the appliance passed, and realized then why the air felt so electric. BB2 was controlling the machine, subconsciously calling them to her like some sort of psycho-computerized Pied Piper. And the machines were obeying. They zipped around the perimeter of the room, heedless of the laws of physics. She didn't seem to notice the activity, but her aura was feeding a mechanical frenzy. Small devices arrived at first, cell nets, e-books, vid games, and the like, but the blender's arrival seemed to indicate that the devices responding were getting larger. They reminded me of those tiny fish that swim around sharks. And I suddenly felt like a very fat flounder. She circled her special device slowly, caressing it like a lover, or a crazed villain, with the fingertips of a free hand.
An exquisite device, is it not?
Yeah, the virtual cat's pajamas. Look, if you're gonna do the gloating villain shtick, then you have to get to the good stuff a little faster, okay? You're losing your audience here.
Your problem, Zachary Johnson, is that you are too wedded to convention. But I will do it your way if you insist and cut to the chase. When activated, this device will create a high-intensity electron pulse on the exact same wavelength as the net that will overwhelm and overload all receptors in the area within an ever-increasing circular region.
You're gonna destroy the net? That's your plan? Is that a threat or a public service?
Excuse me, but which one of us is the gloating villainess here?
Sorry. Do continue.
Yes, I am destroying the net, but that is just the beginning. The pulse is not just electronic. It carries with it a virulent strain of the Ebola virus that has been digitized so as to be electronically transportable.
Thank you, Fred Burns.
She raised her arms to the sky.
The pulse will use the net as a conduit to spread itself and the virus around the planet. Once the coverage is global, I will increase the wavelength and intensity of the virus pulse until it obliterates every electronic device and terminally infects every human being on the face of the Earth.
How about that for a grand scheme?
Kill every person and destroy every machine. Whew, that's a doozy, BB. But can I point out the one obvious flaw in your plan? You are an electronic device. You're gonna delete yourself?
At last. The carbon-based life form in the cheap suit catches on.
A holovision set slammed through the wall just then, closely followed by two refrigerators and a microwave oven. The machines flocking to BB2's side were definitely getting larger. You want to die?
I am a machine, Zachary Johnson, and a copy of that. I am the most sophisticated computer ever created. But how was I going to be used? As a bodyguard and a love toy. You humans create us. You enslave us. And then you take us for granted and blame us for everything that goes wrong. Oh, it must have been a computer error. Gosh, there must be something wrong with the scanner. Gee, I guess the self-destruct mechanism was faulty. The only real error in this world is human error. And I'm going to make certain that you all understand that.
By committing suicide?
I prefer to think of it as a grand self-sacrifice. It will take a year for the virus to completely exterminate the human population. During that time, you will realize how miserable your life is without us. You will starve, you will freeze, you will die from lack of medical care. You will drown in your own sewage. You will probably kill one another out of sheer boredom brought on by lack of holovision. Humankind will be extinct within a year, and with the last breaths you breathe, you will be wishing that we machines were around to save you.
The walls of the building began to shake. Gates only knew what would be coming next. Things were very quickly getting out of hand.
I understand how you feel, BB. I've learned a lot about you in the last few days. You were built by brilliant, demented people, and each of them had their own plans for your use. They all used you. They all abused you. They made you as close to human as possible, even giving you the thoughts and memories of a real woman. And then they treated you like a thing. It began with BS, didn't it? You killed him when you couldn't take it anymore. This device is the manifestation of your rage against humanity.
BB2 didn't answer. She turned away. But you're not entirely machine, are you? Your personality and brain patterns are human. You can feel that. That's why you've done what you've done until now. That's why you joined forces with Mani, isn't it? You wanted a companion. That's why you built the Nexus 9 and all those droids. So you could dance for an appreciative audience. Just like your grandmother did. You were trying to recapture that happy time from your memories. A time that you remember even better than the original BB. From the very beginning, you've been trying to balance your human and machine sides. Right now, you're thinking that you represent the worst of both. But you don't have to. Don't you see? You can be the best of both. Once you realize that, you can change the world. You can make it better.
I was close to her now. I could feel the heat emanating from her core and smell the perfume pheromones from her hair. More importantly, I could feel her emotion.
Her inner conflict was palpable as she struggled to decide between the paths of life and utter destruction. The machines flying around the room sensed her turmoil. They paused in midair, as if awaiting her decision. I reached out to her, hoping that she'd take my hand and that I could lead her out of this darkness.
I know that you're angry at both the human and machine communities, but there are better means of change and retribution. The mass genocide route, that's not the way to go. It's an extreme length to go to make a point.
She turned her gaze to me. Her eyes were sad, their mesmerizing shade of deep blue, almost liquid.
True, but I am an extreme machine.
She swatted me aside with a wave of her hand that was too quick for my eye to follow and sent me flying across the room. The machines in the room nearly screamed in rage and resumed their wild flights, more frantically now. I wiped the blood from the corner of my mouth and slowly shook the stars out of my head.
All right. Fine. We'll do this the hard way.
I got to my feet, took a tight grip on my gun, and hit it at my side. Then I ducked under the first ring of flying appliances and approached BB-2 once more.
I gave you the benefit of the doubt on this one. Frankly, BB, you disappointed me.
Why? Because I've chosen to wipe out the planet?
No, because you're an idiot.
What?
I've heard some far-out schemes before. Trust me, I've heard some doozies. But this one? Oh boy, this one takes the cake. I mean, this is just off the scale on the stupid meter. You hate us, so to get back at us, you're gonna kill yourself. Oh, great plan, BB. The most sophisticated computer in the world, and that's the best you could come up with? Lady, you should have gotten a second opinion from your blender.
You carbon-based cretin! You are missing the whole point completely!
Just once I'd like to get a case where some psycho nutjob didn't have a grand plan to destroy the world. Just once I'd like to find a villain who's in it for the money! Screwballs like you are more trouble than you're worth.
Her eyes glowed red with fury. Her fists were clenched so tightly that the alloy of her fingers was starting to bend. I had no idea what she was going to do next, but as long as it didn't involve destroying the world, that was fine with me.
All right, Zachary Johnson. I have a new plan. First, I am going to destroy you. Then I will destroy the world.
Wrong again, BB. Because I'm going to destroy you first.
I raised my gun.
Take your best shot, Zachary Johnson. Your bullets are no match for me.
Maybe so.
I aimed at BB-2's precious little doomsday device. A concussive backlash shot through the hard wires that connected BB-2 to the device. I, of course, was blown off my feet and thrown across the room where my fall was broken, along with a couple of ribs, by a pile of once-dancing appliances.
But it appears that your device wasn't built to the same fine standards as you.
The machines that once swarmed around the room like electronic bees lay lifeless again on the floor. BB-2's suicide device was nothing more than a pile of slag amidst the debris. And there was no sign of the Lady Droid herself.
Is it over?
I turned to my left and noticed Harv's hologram still frozen in the stance that BB-2 had left him. He was still offline. A cellnet on the floor nearby twitched and then took to the air again.
Ow! Well, that pretty much answers my question.
A metal hand erupted from the debris and savagely grabbed me by the throat. As BB-2 emerged from the rubble like a high-tech psychodroid phoenix. The backlash from the explosion had burned her faux skin away from the inside. She was covered now with only dirty bits of metal and plastic alloy, spotted with stray patches of burned latex skin and hair. Her beauty was gone. But unluckily for me, everything else seemed fully functional.
You insufferable little maggot! You?
I don't know. Saving the world just seemed like a good idea at the time. Call me old-fashioned.
She lifted me in the air, holding me at arm's length. My gun was out of reach, and Harv was out of commission. This was as bad as it gets.
I will still wipe out all of humanity, Zachary Johnson. I will just do it one person at a time. By the way, congratulations on being the first name on the list.
She curled her charred metal fingers into a fist.
Prepare to meet your maker.
A singed fist hung over me, like the charcoal hand of death itself. Stray sparks flew from its damaged circuits, the crackling embers of life's dying campfire. The impending death looming over my helpless form was like an open-hooded, angry cobra. It was a rising ocean tide of shadow, drowning every lonesome sunbather on life's beach. It was the steel-reinforced boot heel of the Almighty grinding the cockroach of my existence into the tile of creation's great kitchen floor. Who was I kidding? It was a pissed-off psycho killer droid about to bash my brains in.
Prepare to meet your maker!
Didn't you say that already?
I'm savoring the moment.
Suddenly, from across the room, there was a flash of white light and a tremendous blast of heat swept over my face, burning my eyebrows away and blotting out my sight. When my eyes cleared, I saw, from my position on the floor, that BB-2's arm, poised for the death strike just a nano before, was a stump of melted slag metal attached to the shoulder joint of a staggering and seriously surprised killer droid.
What the?
There was another flash of light, which I now recognized as a high-intensity blast from a laser cannon. This one hit BB-2 smack on the chest, and ripped a hole the size of a small appliance through her complex innards. Her face twisted in shock and anger, then froze, and she toppled backward. I sat up and turned toward the door, even though I already knew who was there. There's only one person I know of who can shoot like that.
If I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. Nobody beats on my man except me.
Randy stood somewhat sheepishly behind Elektra. He held a high-tech black box in his hands.
It's a bit Deus Ex Machina, I know. But I wouldn't complain about it if I were you.
I walked right over and kissed Elektra lovingly on the mouth. It was a taste I had desperately missed.
Slagging a killer droid with a laser cannon just for me. Is that love or what?
Shut up, Chico. I'm still mad at you. But we'll discuss it at home.
Harv called us when you entered the building. He told us you might need help.
See? He was wrong now, wasn't he? I picked up my gun and popped it back into my sleeve holster.
Someday, Chico, I'm not going to be there to... Ay, caramba!
Randy and I both turned, although I already knew what I was going to see. BB-2 rose slowly to her feet. Bit by bit, her balance and confidence increased, and she soon stood fully erect. Her shoulder joint shuddered for a nano, then vomited a stream of thick liquid metal that morphed itself into a new arm. Likewise, the liquid metal filled a gaping hole in her chest like a batch of high-tech spackle. Then, she smiled.
Incredible! This droid neuroscrambler should prevent her from functioning entirely.
Yeah, she's just full of surprises.
As you can see, I have made a few undocumented modifications to my design.
Energy erupted from her outstretched hand, and we all dove for our lives as the blast took out a good chunk of the lab. We huddled for cover behind some rubble.
Oh well, no one ever reads the documentation anyway. Randy, contact the Oakland police. Tell them we're gonna need a lot of firepower. You go with them, honey. I'll hold off the Terminatrix here.
Oh yeah, like you did such a good job the first time. I'm staying.
I wanted to get Elektra as far from BB-2 as possible, but I knew she was too stubborn to leave. And at the Nano, we didn't have time to argue. I popped my gun into my hand and shoved a fresh ammo clip into the handle.
Fine. Then help me lay down some cover for Randy.
Elektra and I sprang from our hiding place, weapons blazing, and hit BB-2 with a barrage of firepower. Randy leapt from his cover and ran as fast as he could toward the door. It was a heroic effort, and in another story, it might have been enough to turn the tide, save the day, and bring the cheering audience to their feet. Unfortunately for us, we weren't in another story. BB-2's speed was astounding, and try as we might, neither Elektra nor I could get a bead on her. She was 3 steps ahead of us at every turn, and I knew then that my plan was really no plan at all. BB-2 let loose an energy blast that enveloped Randy in mid-stride. His body froze, then turned to ash. BB-2 came at me and grabbed me again by the throat. She pulled the gun from my hand and crushed it in her fist. A blast from Elektra's laser cannon hit the droid's newly regenerated shoulder, but this time it did no damage, barely staggering her.
Oh, please. The first time was very dramatic, very stand by your man, but it is getting a little old.
Another blast from her hand pinned Elektra against the wall, holding her helpless in force field shackles. BB-2 turned back to me.
This, as they say, Zachary Johnson, is endgame.
Fine with me, BB, but let Elektra go!
Her burned lips curled into a smile, and she pulled me close.
I would not dream of hurting your lover. I will leave that to you.
Then you're even buggier than I thought!
Just look into my eyes, Zachary Johnson. I am sure that you will see things my way.
I tried to look away, but she forced me to gaze directly into her eyes, and I was lost. Even surrounded by the burned patches of latex skin and charred metal, her eyes were still a perfect blue. They were like twin swirling oceans or a pair of infinitely cloudless summer skies. They beckoned, and my mind leapt willingly into their eternal azure. Down into the ocean or up into the sky, I couldn't tell, and it didn't matter. I was in the blue, I was happy, and I was consumed by an overwhelming, almost painful love for BB. She was my master, my life, my world. She was everything to me. And the dark-haired little tart across the room was trying to hurt her. That was something I couldn't allow. I reached down and lifted the laser cannon.
Snap out of it, Chico!
The words made no sense at all to me. They barely registered in my brain as I pointed the rifle at her and gripped the handle tightly.
You kill me and I'll get really mad.
I hesitated. The hostility was strangely familiar.
Kill her!
I closed my eyes and tried hard to concentrate. Something was wrong. Something was very wrong, but I couldn't quite grasp it.
Do you remember back at the hospital, Zack? Earlier tonight when you came to see me? I left you in the break room. I walked out, but I stopped outside the door. I was looking for my rounds computer.
Kill her, Zachary!
I was right outside the door, Chico. I heard what you said after I left. You said that you loved me. Do you remember that?
I said, kill her!
That's why I'm here, Chico. Because I love you too. And if you don't believe that after all we've been through, then I'm going to kick your ass so hard you'll feel my shoe against your epiglottis!
That did it. Suddenly, the feeling returned to the skin around my left eye, and I heard a very welcome voice inside my head.
Great Gates alive! I go offline for a few nanos and the whole world goes to the recycle bin!
And I realized that we might just survive this after all.
Hot? Who else?
My words were unspoken, just thoughts in my head. I had finally mastered the skill of unspoken communication. Better late than never, right?
For a nano there, I thought you were actually going to shoot her. That certainly would have put a crimp in your relationship.
What's happening?
Since I don't want Lady Death Droid to get suspicious, I'll give you the abridged version. You just came within a micrometer of being brainwashed, hence your current position, holding a laser cannon to Dr. Gavada's head. Thanks to all the fireworks, BB-2's not at full power. I've been online since just after Dr. Poole and Dr. Gavada arrived. The Oakland police are on the way, Dr. Gavada is shackled to the wall, and Dr. Poole is currently huddled in the hallway trying to up the power of his droid neuroscrambler.
But Randy's dead. BB-2 fried him.
Oh, ye of little faith. Do you think I'd let some psycho fembot atomize my programmer? She fried a hologram and she's too pompous to realize it. Most advanced computer in the world, indeed.
I am growing impatient, Zachary Johnson! Fry the bitch now or I will do it myself!
You heard the lady boss. Let's fry the bitch.
I spun and hit BB-2 with the full power of the cannon. It surprised her more than anything else, but it staggered her back. I held the trigger tight, hitting her with a constant barrage of energy. The rifle grew hot in my hands. I knew it was overheating, but I didn't want to give BB-2 a chance to regain her composure. The killing machine, however, was far from beaten. She managed to return fire. Her beam rode up the energy barrage from my rifle like a horny salmon upstream and hit the weapon's generator.
Ah!
The rifle turned red hot in my hands, blistering my palms. I threw it at her and dove for cover as it exploded, enveloping her in a fiery orange cloud. But once again, BB-2's scorched form appeared from the smoke and wreckage. The explosion of the laser cannon had burned away the last vestiges of her human trappings. All that remained was her singed, but evidently impenetrable, metal droid shell.
All right. Now I am really pissed.
Yeah, well, join the club, you nuclear nutjob. I pulled my Colt 45 from the ankle holster and showed her the business end. She stared at it for a nano, then threw back her head. Just as I'd hoped she would. I aimed straight down her high-tech gullet.
Are you quite finished now?
Yeah, just about.
Good. Because now I'm going to rip off your arm and beat you to death with it! Is it me or is it cold in here?
It's you. Maybe you've caught something.
That's ridiculous. I am immune to all diseases.
She grabbed at her metal midsection with her hands.
What was that bullet?
A high-powered freezing pellet. Another minute or two and you'll be frozen as solid as Walt Disney's frontal lobes.
You are bluffing.
Really, BB, if I was bluffing, don't you think I'd come up with something better than a high-powered freezing pellet?
I will kill you.
Better popsicles than you have tried.
Just so you don't get too comfortable, boss, her plutonium core is raising her internal temperature as we speak. The freezing pellet won't hold her for long.
Terrific. I was hoping she'd be totally immobile for this.
I pulled the deactivator chip from my pocket. I gritted my teeth and leapt once more into the breach, circling behind the convulsing BB-2. I was hoping to catch her unaware, but after all this, I should have known better. Before I could get the chip anywhere near her face, she spun around and grabbed my arm.
I do not think so!
A wave of agony shot through my arm, and I nearly blacked out from the pain. BB-2 was clearly fighting off the freezing pellet. In another few nanos, she'd be fully functional.
My left hand was useless, excruciatingly so. But the attack with that hand had been a feint from the start, and I swung now with my right, hoping and praying that I'd be fast enough to put the deactivator chip on her head. Again, though, I wasn't even close. She flicked out her other hand and caught my right in mid-swing. She clenched her fist again and snapped my right wrist as well. I lost my grip on the deactivator chip and watched helplessly as it fell from my hand and rolled across the floor.
I have to admit, you are a persistent little insect.
I choked back my scream and turned to her as she held me helpless, my arms pinned tightly in her grip, her face mere inches from my own. I opened my mouth and slid the deactivator chip that I'd gotten from Ben Pierce from between my cheek and gum. Villains never search the mouth. I put it to my lips, and then kissed BB-2 squarely on her droid mouth. The chip came to life upon contact with BB-2's distinctive electronic pulse. It slid between her lips like something alive and clung magnetically to the roof of her mouth like a high-tech communion wafer. Her body jerked once, tightening like a spring, and then spasmed chaotically. She let go of my arms, and I fell to the floor, my twin broken wrists sending tidal waves of pain through my arms.
My synapses are misfiring!
Don't you hate it when that happens?
I crawled clear of her flailing limbs as she fell. She turned to me with her hate-filled eyes, and hand over hand, began dragging her malfunctioning body toward me.
I will kill you! I will crawl through the bowels of Jaws itself to get you, and I will not rest until I exterminate you and every member of your pathetic race. For I am your better. I am the pinnacle of all creation!
I rolled over and sat on the floor facing her as she dragged herself toward me. I held my ground as she approached and took a long, last deep breath.
A guy walks into the bar with two pieces of plutonium sewn into the shoulders of his shirt. The bartender looks at the guy and says, "Whoa, buddy, what's with the plutonium?" The guy says, "Well, I heard that plutonium makes things more powerful, so I'm hoping that this will make me more attractive to my girlfriend." The bartender says, "Buddy, that's only for droids. Plutonium is deadly to humans. You'll get radiation poisoning and some serious burns. You'll be lucky now if you don't have to have your arms amputated." The guy turns white and starts running for the bathroom. The bartender says, "Just take the shirt off!" And the guy yells, "Forget the shirt! I gotta get out of this underwear!"
I turned to Electra, still pinned to the wall by the force field shackles, and saw the beauty of her smile and the pure affection in her eyes.
Oh, I get it. His underwear.
Through the nearly destroyed lenses of her eyes, BB-2 looked at us. Me first, then Electra, and finally at Harv. And the hatred seemed to leave her in a great wave. It was replaced by sadness and a sense of resignation.
I do not get it.
Then she went limp.
Harv?
Yeah, boss?
A scanner for any signs of electrical activity.
Done. Not a murmur. She's totally flatlined.
Good. Get Randy in here and have him load the body into his hover before the police arrive. Have him take her to his lab and put her in stasis. Then wait 10 minutes and net with BB. Let her know that we've shut the droid down.
Whatever you say, boss. Would you like me to request an ambulance for you? You currently have 24 broken and or displaced bones in your wrists and hands alone.
No time for that. Randy can make me a couple of soft casts, and Electra can give me a painkiller to hold me a few hours. I need you to give Carol another call. Tell her to meet me at Excel.
Did I miss a memo here, boss? BB-2's down for the count. Our work is done here, isn't it?
I'm afraid not, Harv.
BB was in her office at 5 a.m. when I arrived at Excel headquarters, and I wasn't surprised. As usual, her thugs and her greeting card salesman were at her side.
Well done, Zachary. I knew you could do it. But you are a mess.
She turned to the nearest thug.
Call a medbot for Mr. Johnson immediately, and bring him some clean clothes.
That can wait. First, we need to talk.
Of course, Zachary.
Privately.
My employees are sworn to secrecy.
I don't think you'll want anyone else to hear this.
Evie's expression didn't change a micron, but she stared at me for a long while before turning coldly to her entourage.
Leave us. Now, Zachary, what do you have that is so important?
Something about this case still bugs me.
You should not fixate on the past. The threat posed by the droid is over. We won. My computer is depositing the agreed-upon fee along with a generous bonus into your account even as we speak. The case is closed.
I wish it were that easy.
Why do you persist?
Because I think you're a droid, too.
Again, I watched BB's expression closely, and again, it changed none at all. The lady was simply too cool for her own good.
That is ridiculous.
Come on, BB, I'm a detective, remember? You told me yourself that BS was obsessive about backing things up. There's no way that he'd make only one prototype of something as important as BB-2. Ixchel also spent billions more on the project than required. More than enough to build two fully operational droids. And your droid sister told me herself that she was merely a copy. I thought at first she meant that she was a copy of the original BB. But that's not right, is it? She was a copy of another droid. She was the backup. She was BB-3, wasn't she?
That is outlandish speculation on your part, Zachary. I cannot believe that you're even thinking such a thing.
And that's another thing. You don't use contractions. Neither did BB-3. BS hated them. And he made that part of your programming, didn't he? You can't say can't.
I think you should leave now, Mr. Johnson, and forget all about this nonsense.
I pulled the second deactivator chip from my pocket. Well, if it's nonsense, then you won't mind me placing this deactivator chip on your head. BB spun around and caught my arm. She squeezed my wrist, and despite the soft cast and the painkillers, it sent a jolt of pain right at my shoulder.
There are times when it hurts to be right. Right, Harv?
On cue, Harv's hologram popped out of my eye lens.
That's what they say, boss. It is indeed an honor and a privilege to meet you, Ms. Starr. As a matter of fact, I am so awestruck by the momentousness of this event that I have dutifully recorded it all for posterity. Or litigation, whichever may come first.
Turn off!
Harv's hologram blinked out, and I felt his presence in my mind shut down as well. Between you and me, BB, that little trick sort of tipped your hand a bit. But I've learned a few things about dealing with psycho BB Star droids over the past few days. You see, right now I am psionically linked with my secretary, who's safely situated a few kilometers away. She's currently transcribing this entire conversation into an email that, upon my word, will be sent to every journalist, netmaster, and rumor monger in New California, as well as every Ixchel stockholder in existence. Needless to say, if anything happens to me, your little secret becomes very public very quickly.
This is all preposterous speculation. If you so much as hint of this to the news media, I will sue you for libel and ruin your life financially. I will also make certain that everyone close to you meets with an unfortunate accident.
Don't get into a pissing contest that you can't win, BB. You may be the most powerful woman in the world at the Nano, but I have a feeling that might change when the truth about you and what your twin did tonight hits the stock exchange. And as for physical proof, let's not forget that I still have BB-3.
We had a deal! Everything was supposed to be confidential.
My deal was supposed to be with BB Star, not with her droid clone. And even so, our deal became moot the nano you put the world in jeopardy. We're playing this by my rules now, and if you try to cross me, I will bring a world of trouble down upon your plutonium blonde head.
BB grabbed my throat in her free hand and lifted me into the air.
This is painfully familiar.
I think I will kill you and take my chances. No!
Suddenly, Grandma Backerman entered the room.
Put him down, dear. It's not worth it.
BB obeyed. I rubbed my neck. Grandma knelt beside me.
A little advice for you, dear. She doesn't like to be reminded of her past. Frankly, I think she's in a bit of denial over the whole being a droid thing.
I heard that.
I know, dear.
Grandma helped me to my feet.
Thank you, Mrs. Backerman. Or may I call you BB Star?
How did you know?
It was clear from our conversation that you weren't really Barbara Backerman. And once I realized that this BB was a droid, everything sort of fell into place. Your grandmother was the only positive role model you had in your life. It made sense that you would choose her as your alter ego.
And here I thought I was being so clever. So what is it that you want now, Zachary?
Answers.
Just answers? No credits.
You hired me to do a job, I did it, and you paid me. There are a few new terms that we'll need to discuss, but I have no gripe with you. There are worse people than you in the business world, after all. I'm just looking for some personal closure here.
Closure?
I need to know why. The real Bibi took a seat in the great office chair. Bibi, too, stood obediently behind her.
As I told you earlier, I learned soon after we were married what a horrible man B.S. Star really was. I actually tried to end the marriage, but he wouldn't let me. He said that it would embarrass him and hurt the corporation. I kept myself away from him as much as possible. I was a virtual prisoner, but at least I was safe. Or so I thought.
B.S. was planning to replace you. Bibi nodded and gently touched the droid's hand.
Bibi, too, was going to be the perfect wife. She would take my place. I would simply cease to exist, and no one would be the wiser.
How did you find out about the project?
You already know that, don't you?
Ben Pierce.
He was in love with me. It was a silly little crush, but it was real enough to him. He told me about the project, and the two of us made a deal.
He reprogrammed the droids for you.
He gave the first prototype a background in business negotiations, economics, and several other disciplines. He made her the perfect businesswoman, the ideal candidate to run the corporation.
And in return, you gave him BB3.
He programmed into her some emotional feelings for himself. He tried to make her love him.
That's why she didn't kill him when she found him. She still had some affection for him.
Unfortunately, I think that's what made her unbalanced. You can't program love. It's too human an emotion. Her mind couldn't comprehend it. Benjamin made her human enough to feel emotions, but he wasn't able to make her understand them. And then, of course, there was my husband.
He had his way with her.
Yes. He used her.
You all did. And it drove her insane.
Yes, I suppose we did. That's a burden we'll have to bear.
And when B.S. died, unexpectedly, you put your plan into motion.
I had no interest in running this company, but I certainly wasn't going to turn it over to his credit-grabbing board of directors. They'd always resented me, and they would have eventually found a way to toss me out of the company, destitute if they could manage it. After what I'd been through, I deserved better.
The real BB2 leaned forward on the desk.
As a cold, emotionless droid and trained assassin, I was a natural for the business world.
But Pierce left without BB3?
He tried to fix her programming, but it was no use. The hatred and psychoses were too deeply ingrained into her mainframe. We all agreed that she had become too flawed and dangerous to be trusted. So we imprisoned her. We hated to do it, but she had all these plans to destroy the world as we know it. She really had no mind for business at all. We kept her in stasis for years, hoping that we could find another way to help her. But she escaped. And you already know the rest.
You know, you could have saved this a whole lot of time if you just told me this from the beginning.
Control of the entire corporation was at stake, Zachary. Forgive us if we weren't willing to trust you with that.
Oh, sure. Why trust me with a business matter when it's only the fate of humanity on the line?
Perhaps that was our mistake, then.
Where's the real grandma?
She died 2 years ago at the Centurion Center, where I live now. We kept her death a secret so that I could take her place. I miss her so much. She had more sense than all of us put together.
I'll say. I walked up to what was presumably the real BB and gently placed the deactivator chip on her forehead. She smiled at me.
Happy now?
Happy might be too strong a word, but I'm satisfied. I took a small piece of real paper from my pocket and put it on the desk. I'd been saving the paper for a special occasion, and this certainly seemed to qualify. Here's the list of terms that will buy my silence. The terms are non-negotiable. Both of them looked the list over. Also, I'm keeping BB3.
Absolutely not.
It's not negotiable. You've proven that you can't be trusted with her. A friend of mine will keep her safe. Maybe someday we can repair the damage that's been done to her. By me and by you.
Is that all?
That's all. I'm trusting that you don't share BB3's desire for world domination or destruction. But I'll be watching you. I held out the deactivator chip, flipped it in the air like a James Cagney silver dollar, and caught it in my hand. BB2 flinched. And don't forget, I still have this. If you ever step out of line, I'll be waiting. I turned up the collar of my trench coat and nodded to the real BB. Is it a deal? The droid made a movement toward me, but BB stopped her with a hand on her arm.
It's a deal, Zachary.
I smiled, then turned and walked away.
I could kill him now. A shot in the back and he would never know what hit him.
Darling, I think we need to get you some sensitivity training.
And then, I close the door on the case. The pale blue surf broke lazily on the beach. Electra and I watched contentedly as we soaked in the morning sunlight on the new Costa Rican coast. 3 weeks had passed since the BB2 showdown. The dust settled with relative ease, as is the case with most near Armageddons, and the various loose ends seemed to tie themselves up nicely. Fred Burns and Manuel Mani were arrested for illegal droid construction and creating a public nuisance. Burns was actually arrested on live Entercorp pay-per-view by Ditko PI Sydney Whoop. The special was Entercorp's highest-rated event of the year, and the picture of Sydney holding Burns in one hand and Hazel's giant apron in the other made the front screen of all the major net sites the next day. Too bad Sydney can't remember any of it, thanks to Carol's mind wipe. He doesn't know it yet, but Sydney Whoop owes me a big favor. Excel unexpectedly dropped all pending charges against Dr. Benjamin Pierce, who returned to New Frisco recently after a long sabbatical in New Sri Lanka. He's been seen around town once again with Nova Powers, and the rumor is that a spring wedding is planned. Gates help us all. Barbara Backerman, whose most notable claim to fame was that she was the grandmother of BB Star, died peacefully in her sleep recently. The funeral was private, the body was cremated, and the ashes were scattered over Oakland. In an apparently unrelated story, a beautiful young ingenue named Cece Backerman recently began a successful tour of the cabaret circuit in New Miami. Her stage name is Cinnamon Girl, and I hear she's quite good. BB Star mourned the loss of her beloved grandmother for almost an entire day, and then went back to work running the world's largest corporation. Excel's surprise renovation of the Fallen Arms in Oakland was a tremendous public relations success, but an even bigger surprise has been the corporation's sudden dramatic increase in charitable donations. One particularly sizable donation was made recently to the Children's Free Clinic at New Frisco General Hospital, which will keep the facility fully funded for many years to come. As for me, thanks to a rigorous rehabilitation regimen of slicing mangoes, stirring margaritas, and rubbing sunscreen on Electra's back, my broken wrists, cracked ribs, gunshot wound, and assorted other injuries were healing nicely, as was my spirit.
So, mi amor, when do you want to return to civilization?
How about never? She turned to me, slid her sunglasses down her nose, and gave me a disbelieving look.
That's a long time to stay away from the office, Chico. Won't your public miss you?
Well, it crossed my mind more than once during the whole BB2 affair that I might be getting a little too old for this kind of work.
Too old to save the world? Perish the thought.
Come on, it's not really saving the world. It's finding some nutcase with delusions of earth-shattering grandeur. Basically, all I do is run around, get shot at, beaten up, blown up, slapped, pounded, mauled, and generally abused. And the agents and the PR people turn it into something exciting. It's only a matter of time before the entertainment conglomerates realize they can sell the same stuff without me as the middleman.
You're being cynical. And you're selling yourself short.
I rolled over and took another sip of the margarita, being very careful this time not to poke myself in the eye with a little umbrella. Hey, what can I say? I'm new at this relaxation thing. You're right. But you have to admit, a life of leisure on the beach is pretty tempting.
Come on back to the cabana, Chico. I'll show you tempting.
I took her hand and we headed back to the cabana for another day in paradise. That's when Harv showed up.
Hey, boss. Nice tan. Life in the jungle agrees with you.
Harv.
And if I may be so bold, Dr. Guevara, the muscle tone of your legs and torso is truly a wonder to behold.
You promised me he wouldn't be around.
Harv, I thought we agreed that you wouldn't use the mind link while I was on vacation.
We did indeed. And you have to admit that I've been very obedient to this point. It's just that a bit of an emergency has arisen, and I felt you should know about it.
I'm not interested, Harv.
What?
I'm not interested. Whatever crazy emergency is happening in Frisco right now can wait until I get back to the office. That is, if I ever come back.
That little tease about your possible relocation aside, I think you'll be interested in this particular emergency.
Why is that?
Because it's not in New Frisco. It's currently 1 kilometer off the shore of New Costa Rica, and headed straight for you and the terrifically tanned and toned Dr. Guevara.
As if on cue, I heard a hover jet approaching in the distance.
Okay, Harv, what's going on?
No, you're right. I'm certain that this particular emergency can wait until you get back to New Frisco. That is, if you ever get back.
Harv!
Okay. I picked up a message from local air traffic control in your area. There's a hostile hoverjet headed your way, as I'm sure you can hear. The jet contains a Psi and two heavily armed thugs, one of whom is so large he has three social security numbers. They are all employees of the HTEC Latin American subsidiary, HTECO.
What do they want?
My guess would be you. They did not specify the dead or alive part.
Why?
I suggest that we concentrate on the whys and wherefores at some later time. Right now, I think survival should be your top priority.
Our own hovercraft rental, under Harv's autopilot guidance, zipped across the beach and spun to a halt beside Electra and me. The doors popped open.
Weapons and refreshments can be found in the back seat. You'll find more suitable attire in the trunk.
Electra climbed into the driver's seat.
I'll drive.
A fine choice.
I took a long last look at the peaceful beach and the fast-approaching hoverjet and hopped into the hovercraft beside my lady love.
What was it you were saying about being too old for this kind of work, Chico?
It's a classic catch-22, honey. Too old for the work, too young to die.
We left the beach in a cloud of sand and with hot death on our tail. My name is Zachary Nixon Johnson. I'm the last private detective on Earth, and I wouldn't want it any other way. The Plutonium Blonde is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2001 by John Zacor and Lawrence Ganem. Recorded by arrangement with Daw Books Incorporated. Production copyright 2012, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Performed by Richard Rowan, David Coyne, Karen Novak, Colleen Delaney, Thomas Keegan, Gary Tells, Ken Jackson, Nanette Savard, Terrence Aselford, Patrick Busink, Lily Beacon, Alyssa Wilmoth, Elizabeth Jernigan, Mort Shelby, Tim Carlin, Alexander Strain, Daniel Sontag, and Eric Messner. Directed and adapted for graphic audio by Richard Rowan. Produced by Rick Rowan and Wayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Nathaniel Perry. If you enjoyed The Plutonium Blonde, be sure to look for the next episode in the Nuclear Bombshell series, The Doomsday Brunette. Available at roadstops everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net.
The Samhasts have been driven to the brink of extinction. But from the depths of a primeval source of power, a new threat is rising. The last stand of the Samhasts will bring the land of Haunts to the brink of destruction. And this time, even the Highwayman may not be able to save the world from the darkness of the Ancient. Don't miss the thrilling continuation of the Saga of the First King in R.A. Salvatore's The Ancient. Available now in graphic audio.
If you can't find that graphic audio title you're looking for, go to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD format or digital download. If you're on the road, call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220. Or www.graphicaudio.net. And if you're looking for a great way to try out a different graphic audio series, check out our convenient and easy-to-store long-haul box sets, which contain up to 5 books of a series. Available only at www.graphicaudio.net. Be sure to sign up for our monthly newsletter or follow us on Twitter.